In your Bibles tonight, if you will, please, let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter number 95. Psalms, chapter 95. Normally, we would have been here on this morning, but God just really put it on my heart to go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, and talk about us being overcomers and not overthrown. And I believe God blessed that. I believe God honored that. And I'm excited about what the Word can do once it gets into our hearts and our lives. Psalms chapter 95, we don't know who the human author of this is. Sometimes that's helpful because we know where they've been, we know what they've done, what they've accomplished, how God has used them. But the fact that it's the Word of God, that it's from God who loves us and gave His Son to be the sacrifice for our sin, He who knew no sin actually became sin for us. And so with that, we read what He has to say for us here. We begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. And let me just make this one interjection as we read. Here he says it's a combined unit. He said, he uses the word us and our. And as I went down through here, there are several places where he says our and we and so forth. And so whoever the author is of this knew that it wasn't just him. It was a team effort. He knew it was a team situation, more than one person. And so he says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, as in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. As I think about entering into the rest of God, and there is a rest for the people of God, Hebrews tells us, and what a wonderful thing it is to abide in that rest, to abide in that place where the storms can't reach you and the assailants of the world can't touch you. That's the rest that God has for his people. And I think one of the major things that would bring us to that place is thankfulness in our hearts. For nearly 12 years, this next month, it'll be 12 years that Miss Judy and I drove up here and preached the first time, taught Sunday school the first time here and then preached. And since that time, how many times have you heard me say that I have a problem with missionaries who aren't thankful? And that's not all. It's not just missionaries that need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful we have funds to send to the missionaries. We need to be thankful for the labors that go in to bring those funds into the house of God, that we can send them to missions. We need to be thankful for the people that provide the income so that the people can labor and get the income to bring in here. It's just an unstoppable areas of our life where we need to be a thankful people. And if we'll thank the Lord more, we'll find out that a lot of our problems will dissipate. A lot of our problems will disappear. And so we want to mention tonight some things about how to be more thankful, but let me share some thoughts with you on Thanksgiving before we start that. The fellow by the name of Rudyard, how would you like to have the name of Rudyard? He was an Englishman. His last name was Kipling, and most people just know him by that name, Kipling. He lived from 1865 to 1936, and he was 71 years old when he passed away. He was an Englishman, but he was born in a place called Bombay, India. He wrote poetry and is the author of a number of books, including children's books. Maybe you've heard of the books of Jungle Book and so forth. He's the author of that. And his writings not only made him famous, but they made him very wealthy also. And so a newspaper reporter came to him one day and said, Mr. Kipling, I just read where somebody said that they calculated that the money that you earn for the writings that you've put out have earned you over $100 per word. That's pretty good. You want a one-hour sermon? Give the preacher $1 or $100 per word. I'll guarantee you a one-hour sermon. But we need to understand, he said $100 per word. So the reporter reached into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill and unfolded it and held it out and said, So, Mr. Kipling, here's a $100 bill. Mr. Kipling, now give me one of your $100 words. And he reached over and took the money, folded it up, put it in his pocket and said, thanks. That's a pretty good $100 word, don't you think? Amen. And then I read another story where a famous editor by the name of Horace Greeley, if you've ever heard of the Colorado town Greeley, it was named after him. He's the one who said, go west, young man, go west. And Miss Judy and I didn't listen. We came east. But Mr. Greeley tells of receiving a letter from a woman, and she wrote this. Our church is in dire financial straits. We've tried everything to keep it going. A strawberry festival, an oyster supper, a donkey party. If you know what that is, tell me after services. A donkey party, a turkey dinner, and finally a box social. Will you please tell us, Dr. Greeley, how to keep a struggling church from disbanding? And Dr. Greeley wrote back to her with a two-word message and said, try Christianity. A great part of Christianity deals with the subject we're talking of tonight, and that is thank you. So I don't think there's a more valuable word in the Christian vernacular unless it would be love, speaking of the love of Christ. And if the love of Christ doesn't motivate us to be thankful, I don't know what would, really, to be honest with you. But notice these thoughts from the Word of God. In Psalm 69, verse number 30, the Bible says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and we've done that tonight. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. You know, to magnify is to make look larger than it really is. How do you make God look larger to the world? How do you make God look larger to your family? How do you make God look larger to the ones you're trying to win to Christ that have been so rebellious against the gospel and kicking up a fuss about every time you say something about the Lord Jesus? The Bible says here, I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. And so as our family members, our loved ones, our neighbors, even our enemies see us thanking God, all of a sudden He takes on a different persona. All of a sudden He becomes larger than life. All of a sudden He becomes larger in their minds than He was before. Psalms 95 and verse number 2 says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Psalms 104 and verse 4 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Two things from this. Number one, you wonder what the will of God is. Number one, His will for you is to be thankful. And I think sometimes God doesn't listen to us like we wish He would listen to us because we don't come into His presence with thanksgiving. That verse says simply, for this is the will of God for you, and everything give thanks. And then the Bible says in verse number 19, do not quench the Spirit. Do you suppose sometimes we quench the Spirit of God by not being thankful? Take, 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 take. Give, 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 give. I want, I want, I want. And I have a list as long as anybody in this room of things that I would like to have, things I'd like to do, places I'd like to go. But they ought to never get in the road of my being thankful to God. In fact, I would credit the Lord for the things that have happened in my life. Every good thing in my life has been a gift from the Lord. My salvation, my wife, my family, the health that I've had through my life, to be the pastor of Bethel Baptist Church. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, no shadow of turning. God's been good to this preacher. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15, the Bible says, therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And so we need to understand tonight the value, the importance, the absolute necessity of us being a thankful people. And listen, if that doesn't come natural for us, then something's wrong in our relationship with the Lord. It's not in our relationship with our family. It's not in our relationship with some other person. If we don't have grateful, thankful hearts, then there's something wrong with our relationship with the Lord. When we see Him, who He is, and we know what He's done, and we think of what His promises are to us, if thanksgiving doesn't break forth in our heart, something's wrong with our heart. Somebody said one time, a pig will eat fruit underneath a tree all of its life and never one time look up to see where it came from. Biblical examples of what happens when people are not thankful. Well, we thought this morning of the grumbling and the mumbling and all the complaining, the murmuring of the children of Israel because they forgot to be thankful. Someone says there's no gaining through complaining. And I guess that ought to make our sign one of these days. There's no gaining through complaining. I say there's no gaining through complaining. All right, got a thumbs up on that. Amen. Let's go to our Bibles. Keep your place here. But let's go to our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. The turning of Bible pages would cause a coronary arrest to a liberal. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. And I want you to note as we read down through here, the companions to unthankfulness. Just note the companions of unthankfulness. In verse number 1 of chapter 3, 2 Timothy, the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." And so we find that the Bible testifies that none of those companions are good companions. And yet they're all companions of a thing called being unthankful. And so I think we open our life up to a lot of unnecessary temptations, to a lot of unnecessary problems, to a lot of unnecessary happenings in our life because we're not thankful. It takes some time sometimes to be thankful. And when you start thanking God, you find that, boy, eventually it just starts rolling off and rolling off and rolling. And there's really no place to stop. There's no place to say amen. And so tonight we want to look at some ways to make ourselves, to cause us to be a little more thankful. Number one, refuse to take the Lord and His blessings for granted. You know what I mentioned this morning and I repeat it again tonight. If any one of us, including myself, received tonight from God what we have earned, God would have to just send us to hell. And His eternal, everlasting, shall never perish life, sometimes we take that as if we earned it, as if we deserved it, and we just snatch it up without a thinking often enough of what it cost the Lord to bring us salvation. Salvation for me cost me nothing. My salvation cost Jesus everything. And if I can't be thankful for that, then something's wrong. And then refuse to take the Lord for granted, but refuse to take His people for granted. God has brought people into our life that know Him as Savior. They are our brother or our sister. And has to go one of those two ways, by the way. Can't be anything in between. They're either our brother or our sister. And we often sometimes with people, we use their faithfulness against them. We find them doing this and doing that and doing something else. And when they don't do something that we think they should have done, then we get upset with them. No, we've taken people for granted and we ought not to do that. Husbands take their wives for granted. Wives take their husbands for granted. Children take their parents for granted. Parents take their children for granted. We ought not to do that. There's a cost, there's a value to all those relationships. And praise God for those relationships. And we need to understand that that continues on into the family of God, the house of God, and certainly the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, make your application greater than your expectation. Make your appreciation greater than your expectation. Let's just imagine today that someone came to your house every day for 30 days. Every day they'd knock on the door, you'd open the door and they'd give you a $100 bill, tip their hat and walk away. Next day they'd come back, knock on the door, you'd open the door, they'd tip their hat, give you a $100 bill and walk away. They'd do that for 30 days. But then all of a sudden, without saying anything, they just stopped. Chances are, most of us would be upset that they stopped. We wouldn't think that we had $3,000 because they came every day for 30 days with a $100 gift. We would be upset that they stopped. God help us to make our appreciation greater than our expectation. My wife was speaking with someone the other day, and their boss had given everyone in the office a $200 bonus just because. Just because. He said, here, it's been a rough year. We've had some real victories, and doesn't claim to be a Christian, but gave each one of them a $200 check. And one of them that my wife was speaking to was upset that her $200 was not larger than anyone else's $200. Shame on her. Shame on her. She didn't have to get anything. It's kind of like those fellows that went to work. Some of them came to work and agreed to work for a penny. Some came later and agreed to work for a penny. And then when he paid them all the same, the ones that had worked for exactly what they had been paid exactly what they agreed to got upset. Instead of being thankful that they had a job and thankful that they had an income, a day's wages for a day's work, they were upset that he didn't give them more than he gave the other people. It all comes into the fact of a grateful and a thankful heart. And then number three, always appreciate what you already have. My dad was a good one to say, if you don't take care of what you have, why would you get anything different? Why would you get anything better? Why would you get anything new if you can't take care of what you already have? Somebody said, have you done anything for me lately? You know, we think about what the Lord did for us when he saved us, some of us a long time ago, and when he's done different great things for us. But if we're not careful, we'll have the attitude, but Lord, what have you done for me lately? I mean, he didn't save us lately. He did save somebody lately. And they're going to be baptized Sunday, by the way, next Sunday. And so very thankful for that. But what have you done for me lately? If we're not careful, we'll do that. When we get to heaven, I think it's going to be interesting when God introduces us to our what we'd call a guardian angel. The Bible says that God has given angels to those that will be the heirs of salvation. And I'm sure when we get to heaven and God introduces us to them, and perhaps they'll take a long period of whatever time is transferred into and tell us all the different times when God dispatched them out to keep us out of trouble. And we went through the day and said, well, nothing big happened. And he's sitting up there wringing his hands saying, what do you mean nothing big happened? You should have been where I'm at. You know, God has taken good care of us. God has met our needs. And we need to understand that. We need to be thankful for the things that we have already. Paul and Silas in jail in Philippi, after having been beaten at least twice and put in there and in stocks and at midnight, and they're singing and praising God. They weren't praising God for what's happening to them. They were, they might have been doing that too. They're praising God in their trouble, maybe even for their trouble. I don't think they're praising God thinking that God's going to send an earthquake and turn them loose. I think they thought back of all the good things that God had done for them. And if they die, they're just better off anyway. And so they're not looking forward to the method of dying, maybe, but they're looking forward to the place they're going. So we need to learn how to appreciate the things we already have. And then make Thanksgiving a past tense thing. Remember the things that you've thanked God for, and then renew those things from time to time. Some of you know my daddy passed away in 1967. Of late, I've thought many, many times how I wish that I could pull up a gas barrel and sit on a gas barrel and talk to him. That's where I had my last serious conversation with my daddy, him on one gas barrel and me on another. How often I've thought I'd love to do that again. How often I've thought it'd be good to be able to pick up the phone and call him and say, how's it going, Dad? It would be wonderful to be able to carry on those kind of conversations with him, to be able to have some camaraderie with him, to say, come on, Dad, you can go fishing with me. One time, my dad never went fishing with us. He thought fishing was a waste of time. He said, well, you go fishing and catch a big sucker or a carp or something, I can go out here and shoot a steer and I can eat steak while you're eating fish. And that was kind of his attitude. He just didn't think about me. And I'd love to be able to call him up and say, Dad, I'm coming to Colorado and I want you to get your duds on because we're going to go fishing. I'm going to show you how to go fishing. I can't do that. But as I thought about some of those things, I thought, how many times I could have done that with my Heavenly Father. I could have said, let's sit down and talk, Lord. I could have said, Lord, I need some wisdom. I need some counsel. I need some encouragement. I need some help. I need some health. I need this. I need some work, some this, some that. And how many times I have missed the opportunities to converse with my Heavenly Father and tell Him all the things I'd like to tell my earthly Father if He were here to tell those things too. So make Thanksgiving past tense. And, you know, when it comes to thanking God, now's a good time to start. Not next week, not tomorrow. Now's a good time to start that. And then remember that your gratitude shapes your attitude. The more thankful I am, the better my attitude is. When I'm thankful for my car, I'll take better care of my car. When I'm thankful for my home, I'll take better care of my home. When I'm thankful for my wife, I'll take better care of my wife. You see, gratitude shapes our attitude. Being thankful says a lot. Being thankful says a lot about the person. I'm troubled with people that are Christians and they want to take and not give. I'm troubled with that. Whether their giving would benefit me any or not is not the question. It's just the whole attitude of gratitude. And when we have the attitude of gratitude, it changes. The more grateful I am, the better my attitude is. And now I'll come in someday and have a frown on my face and someone will say, you need to go say thank you somewhere. We need to have a gratitude attitude. And so it not only says a lot about us, but it says what we think about other people. My gratitude towards other people tells them what I think of them. Now, I know you can't say thank you for everything. I understand that. People do things for you that you don't even learn about, you don't even know about for some time. And sometimes you get behind in all the thank yous, and I understand you can't say thank you for everything, but we ought to try. And you know, we don't have to be a certain place to say thank you to God for what He's done for us. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thankful. God wants to hear us say praise the Lord. God wants to hear us say thank you, Lord. God wants us to be a thankful people. And if we're saved, and if we'll just consider what Jesus has done for us and what it cost Him to do those things for us, I don't see how we can be anything but thankful. Maybe obedient after that. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, please.